Chapter 146. Tammy, long before sunrise the next morning my sandals were laced on, and the doctor had vaulted into Zeke's boots. Expecting to see us again, before we went to Talu, the planters wished us a pleasant journey, and, on parting, very generously presented us with a pound, or two of what sailors call lug tobacco, telling us to cut it up into small change, the Virginian weed being the principal circulating medium on the island. Tammy, we were told, was not more than 3 or 4 leagues distant, so making allowances for a wild road, a few hours to rest at noon, and our determination to take the journey leisurely, we counted upon reaching the shores of the lake sometime in the flush of the evening. For several hours we went on slowly through wood and ravine, and over hill and precipice, seeing nothing but occasional herds of wild cattle, and often resting, until we found ourselves, about noon, in the very heart of the island. It was a green, cool hollow among the mountains, into which we at last descended with a bound. The place was gushing with 100 springs, and shaded over with great solemn trees, on whose mossy boles the moisture stood in beads. Strange to say, no traces of the bullocks ever having been here were revealed. Nor was there a sound to be heard, nor a bird to be seen, nor any breath of wind stirring the leaves. The utter solitude and silence were oppressive, and after peering about under the shades, and seeing nothing but ranks of dark, motionless trunks, we hurried across the hollow, and ascended a steep mountain opposite. Midway up, we rested where the earth had gathered about the roots of 3 palms, and thus formed a pleasant lounge, from which we looked down upon the hollow, now one dark green tuft of woodland at our feet. Here we brought forth a small calabash of a parting present from Tanoy. After eating heartily, we obtained fire by 2 sticks, and throwing ourselves back, puffed forth our fatigue in wreaths of smoke. At last we fell asleep, nor did we wake until the sun had sunk so low that its rays darted in upon us under the foliage. Starting up, we then continued our journey, and as we gained the mountaintop there, to our surprise, lay the lake and village of Tammy. We had thought it a good league off. Where we stood, the yellow sunset was still lingering, but over the valley below long shadows were stealing the rippling green lake reflecting the houses and trees just as they stood along its banks. Several small canoes, moored here and there to posts in the water, were dancing upon the waves, and one solitary fisherman was paddling over to a grassy point. In front of the houses, groups of natives were seen, some thrown at full length upon the ground, and others indolently leaning against the bamboos. With whoop and halloo, we ran down the hills, the villagers soon hurrying forth, to see who were coming. As we drew near, they gathered round, all curiosity to know what brought the Aurores into their quiet country. The doctor contriving to make them understand the purely social object of our visit, they gave us a true Tahitian dash welcome, pointing into their dwellings, and saying they were ours, as long as we chose to remain. We were struck by the appearance of these people, both men and women, so much more healthful than the inhabitants of the bays. As for the young girls, they were more retiring and modest, more tidy in their dress, and far fresher, and more beautiful than the damsels of the coast. 1,000 pities, thought I, that they should bury their charms in this nook of a valley. That night we abode in the house of Rartu, a hospitable old chief. It was right on the shore of the lake, and at supper we looked out through a rustling screen of foliage upon the surface of the starlit water. The next day we rambled about, and found a happy little community, comparatively free from many deplorable evils to which the rest of their countrymen are subject. Their time, too, was more occupied. To my surprise, the manufacture of tappa was going on in several buildings. European calicoes were seldom seen, and not many articles of foreign origin of any description. The people of Tammy were nominally Christians, but being so remote from ecclesiastical jurisdiction, their religion sat lightly upon them. We had been told, even, that many heathenish games and dances still secretly lingered in their valley. Now the prospect of seeing an old-fashioned ever, or Tahitian reel, was one of the inducements which brought us here. And so, finding Ratu rather liberal in his religious ideas, we disclosed our desire. At first he demurred, and shrugging his shoulders like a Frenchman, declared it could not be brought about, was a dangerous matter to attempt, and might bring all concerned into trouble. But we overcame all this, convinced him that the thing could be done, and a heaver, a genuine pagan fandango, was arranged for that very night. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.